Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. I think my wife escaped back to the room to help count. But I just wanted to know, when we do the women's meeting, she's going to be the one leading it. So it's going to be an opportunity here. She's going to step out and gets outside of her comfort zone. And I think that's really awesome. So I'm just encouraged. I know yesterday when she was doing her little teaching, why she was just so happy. So I'll be delighted to see what happens with everybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. And go with me to Acts 2. We're going to look at verse 38 or 36. But before I get there, I just wanted to cover something else. We could just read his poem again, and it would cover pretty much everything that I had intended to say today. So it's amazing how God works. I kept hearing all these different things throughout the transition from Anna and then from each person as they stepped up. So most of my message has already been delivered, but that's okay. We'll drag this out some more. So recently, before I get there, recently I texted somebody just a scripture, and that scripture was Hebrews 11:16. And, you know, there's the reason that I'm saying this morning God is saying, stop the shame. Stop the shame. And so Hebrews 11:16 basically just tells you that God's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of you. And unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times that we put up walls, and those walls wind up keeping in, hello. And we walls wound up keeping in the very thing that we're trying to get away from. And so what I'm hearing this morning, if there's a fresh wind coming to blow out the shame, there's a fresh wind coming to blow it out of your life and out of your circumstance and out of your family. It's time for us to acknowledge what God has already done. See, we serve a God of justice, which is part of what I want to get to. We serve a God of justice, and He's defined a justice for your life, and it's already been obtained for you. All we have to do is stand in the sureness of it. So let the fresh wind blow through. Let the fresh wind blow this thing out of your life. Let the fresh wind blow out the disappointments and the hurts. Let the fresh wind blow out all that the enemy has tried to camp into your life with that would keep you from adoring Him and honoring Him. Let the fresh wind blow through your life that would keep you from, blow out all those things that would keep you from understanding just who you are in Christ. So much of the time, it's not because we are is not available to us. We even see it, but we don't obtain it because we've gotten so used to hanging on to something. Let the fresh wind blow it away. Let the fresh wind blow it out. Let the fresh wind change your understanding of yourself. Amen? Amen. So that was free because that was, he just said, stop the shame. So let's just stop the shame. Amen. So this one is a little bit, I'm basically going to be preaching to myself this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me a mirror. Hallelujah. What's that? Should we leave? Justin, I appreciated what you said Wednesday night. I'm not sure I appreciate what you're saying today, but I appreciate what you said Friday night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is here. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's bade him, I'm sorry, verse 36 of Acts 2. So he's made him both Lord and Christ. Lord, meaning that he's master, he's the possessor. He's the one who possesses you. He's the one who holds on to you. He's the one who governs over you. And Christ, because it means that he is the anointing. Christ actually means the anointing, the anointed one and his anointing. And it's not just his last name. It's his anointing that's being referred to. And that anointing is what puts action to the promise that he gave you. It's that anointing that puts action to the words and the promise that he's putting in your heart. It's that anointing that puts action to the victory that he already obtained for you. It's the anointing that begins to shift and stir. Like he was talking about out of Psalms 23 earlier, as the pastor was ministering in the offering, there was a ministering of the Psalms 23 and the oil pouring over your head. It's a picture of the anointing coming down and running over you. It's a picture of the anointing coming. Why? Because you're being served from the table of the king's table. And when you're served at the king's table, guess what? Everything becomes possible. When you're served at the king's table, anything, things that were not obtainable in another realm are obtainable here. And when you're served at the king's table, things that didn't appear in other places will appear here. So let the anointing begin to do its work in your heart and in your life. Let the anointing do what it's called to do in all that you're touching and doing. And so when we begin to acknowledge him both as Lord, remember we talked about that last time I was talking, and we just need to make him Lord in every area of our life. It's very possible to make him Lord in one area, but leave him out of another area. We need to make him Lord in every area, because when he becomes master of every area, now he becomes master of me. That's really what the laying ourself down. That's the dying at the cross every day, is laying those things down where he's not Lord yet. Because when he's Lord, you're no longer having to do that. He already did it for you. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. So that's just kind of a warm up. The whole idea here is that then we're owned by him. We are owned by him. We're owned by him. And because he's the possessor of us, then we get to do what he's asking and showing us to do. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. But let me just say this. America has a calling. America has been called to be a beacon of light. It's to be a city on a hill, shining and casting the light of evangelism, shining and casting the light of generosity and liberality into all the nations. It's called to be a beacon of hope, a hope that withstands all things and all things that come against it, and a hope that begins to send as a symbol that of the removal of oppression everywhere else in the world. This is the thing that God has done in America, and it's been God's doing. But here recently we've got a number of people, a very small number of people who don't understand that and are wanting to take the light out of America. Yes. Actually it is. I heard the question, is it small? And yes, actually it is. It's a small portion of people who are wanting to take the light out. There are a whole lot of people who have been duped and covered over and basically made to not know, understand the truth, but the very small people who are actually evilly intended in it. So this is where it gets more difficult, see. Because, see, what one of the things that I, as a result of all this that's going on, I had taken on this thought in my head. I went to the Lord and I was just complaining. Have you ever gone to the Lord and just boldly complained? We boldly complained. Yeah, there was a day when LaRue, that was at their other building, and LaRue got down into the offering, and it was a real somber moment, and he was down here at the offering, and he comes to the Lord and says, "Oh Lord, we boldly complain." That's not quite the thing I'm talking about. I was whining to the Lord, okay? That's really what I'm talking about. But I was whining because I felt betrayed. In other words, how can this many people not see what I see? How can this many people not know what I know? How can this many people not understand the truth of what's going on? And so in my heart, I understand God's heart is for the children. God's heart is for freedom. God's heart is for deliverance. God's heart is to remove the darkness. And yet this election has pulled up an obvious evidence. Not everybody understands that. And so, as I was boldly complaining, he told me, "Son," he did at least say son. He didn't disown me. He wasn't ashamed of me. But he said, "Son, I wish for all these to be with me and near to me too." He said, "There are those who are lost and those who are blind." And so last Sunday when I was seeing, that's when he actually addressed it with me during worship. And so I was kind of somber the rest of the service because he addressed it, he put his finger on it, and my heart changed. Because see, before that, my thought had really been about me. It had been about, not necessarily even me, but about my children and my children's children and what they might have to, what America that they might be growing up in. And so those were the things that were concerning me. And what I was looking at was that rather than looking at what God was looking at was he's always for the hearts of all the people. He's for the hearts of anyone and everyone out there. And he wants to draw all of us to him. He wants to draw every one of us. And he was separating out the idea that there's a we and a they. I know, don't look at me so disappointed. I'm disappointed too. He's separating me from the we and the they because it's us. And he began to change my prayer. He began to change my prayer because my prayer now is focused on all of us. All of us beginning to see and know the understanding, to see and know the light that God has, to see and know who he is, to see and know and receive the joy that he has in each and every one of us as individuals. And so I began to understand that and began to call that forth. And those are the things that I'm saying today is just that we want to draw into him because when I began to do that, he began to shift my understanding. He began to shift, but something else happened too because in that part, he also began to lift out of me a burden that I didn't even know was there. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. "In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." We're not ignorant of his schemes. That also can be translated as thoughts. We're not ignorant of his thoughts. Bless you. And so when I began to see this and I began to recognize what he did was he put in my heart to recognize and stand before him. And I repented of this. I repented of letting a place exist in my heart that was under the scheme of the enemy. And when I let loose of it, when I repented of it, I felt something pop. And I can tell you there was a joy that happened into my spirit that hadn't happened in a while. There was a clarity and a purity that happened in my spirit that hadn't happened in a while. Why? Because now I'm letting Him speak into my heart in an area that I wasn't letting Him be Lord in before. And so as I began to let Him be Lord in this area, now I'm beginning to see how He's looking for His people. He's looking for us to work and move in this heart of evangelism. He's looking for us to move into who He is and represent Him to each and every person out there. There is no more we and they in that thinking. He began to look and be more concerned for everybody's eternal worth than our particular situation of the moment. See, when I was this focused on they, then I could be frustrated, disappointed, and betrayed. But when I began to focus in on Him, now I can actually come to the Jordan River with it. I can come to the Jordan and I can get dipped in the water again. Remember? Take me to the river. Dip me in the water. And I can get free of the burden of it. Why? Because now He's involved with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a God who is a God of justice. We serve a God who is a God of justice. Go with me to Psalm 89 for just a moment. Oh, there it is. Verse 14 says this. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thee. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. The very foundation that everything that God is going to do stands on righteousness and justice. That's why we are a people. There's something in each and every person who loves justice and seeks out for justice. And we have to recognize that seeking out for justice has a purpose in our life. But it also has a source in our life. And that source is an everlasting God who is justice, who is truth. And things that deviate from His truth don't ever change what His truth is. Some people try to say that you can't legislate morality. I'm telling you that you have to legislate morality. Because a nation or a society without morality ceases to be a society very long. Because without a sense of what is right and a sense of what is wrong, then all of a sudden everybody runs over everybody and you no longer have a society. So I began to understand that what I'm seeing and what I'm understanding is truth and what I know God is on God's heart. For example, just as one, but not by far any limited, the whole issue of abortion. To me, that sets the standard right there. I don't need another thing to set my standard, because that one thing sets the standard. When abortion is legal, there's something that's going to be against the heart of God automatically. And when we become a society that permits this and allows this and says it's okay, then we're put ourselves outside the bound of what God can be with. But when we stand with those who cannot defend themselves, now we stand in a nation and as a nation for righteousness, the righteousness that comes from the very throne of God. And His righteousness will be able to govern in us and around us and for us. It's His righteousness and His justice that gets fulfilled in our life because we took a chance and stand with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're uncertain about when life begins. If you're uncertain, just look in Luke 1, verse 41. Because in Luke 1:41, it says this. It says that John the Baptist, as a baby, a six-month-old baby in the womb, when his cousin Jesus came on the scene, who was maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks old, and he comes on the scene, John the Baptist leapt for joy over the life that was in Mama Mary. Leapt for joy over the life. If a six-month-old baby knows when life begins, can we know when life begins? It feels good to talk about this. I know it's not easy in some churches, but you know what? It feels good to talk about it. But see, that justice becomes the foundation. That justice becomes the foundation. And then when that justice and the heart for justice begins to guide my actions, my thoughts, and my prayers, that justice now begins to set a different tone, a tone that's no longer interested in just me and my four, but a tone that is interested in what is good for God's people and what is good when it comes time to look at eternity. Because see, eternal life is really far more important than all the rest of this. What we do with our eternity, what we do with someone else's eternity, that's the thing that begins to shift and change. This friend of mine who passed away last week, she's probably one of the most dear people in my whole entire life. Why? Because she's the one who brought me to the Lord. I owe her my eternity. I owe her my eternity because she saw something. She didn't always like what she saw in me. And she was quick to talk about it. But she saw something that God wanted to get a hold of. And she kept after it until he did. Amen. We need to be a little bit like that sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. So I began to recognize that even though I could see certain things, when I got saved, my political outlooks changed. Because I could see certain things that I couldn't see. And I began to recognize that no matter how much I understand, and I don't understand all of it, but I began to understand that everybody has to go through that journey. And that just because somebody doesn't see it yet doesn't make them my enemy. It makes them somebody I need to pray for. It makes them somebody I need to intercede for. It needs to be somebody I need to lift up. Because see, we're busy and we're on track to call forth our president as being President Trump to make sure that every legal vote gets counted and every illegal vote gets cast aside. We are looking for that to happen. But at the same time, we cannot be so busy looking for that to happen that we forget to pray for those who are going to be affected by this. Because actually, we're all ultimately going to be affected by this. Because what do you think is going to be the result when that gets shown up? There's going to be pandemonium potentially, but we can't hold everybody responsible for the actions of a few. So we need to be praying right now for God to open the eyes, whether you be, no matter what camp you're in, no matter what part of America that you might be in, we need to throw in the prayers for God to lift them up and bring them in close to where they can see. Because when they can see, they can respond differently. When they can see, they'll know what truth is. And it's truth that will truly set them free. It's only the truth, and then if it's what they're believing doesn't line up with truth, it will never set them free. God is going to give an opportunity This is a time of an opportunity like none other. We are in a biblical transition right now in America. We are in a time when he's going to begin to speak and release. He's releasing an opportunity now that has never existed before. We're shifting into the running of the white horse. We're shifting into a coming forth of the crown. We're shifting into a coming forth of all that he has called the church to actually be. It's time for us to recognize and get serious with him. But it's not just about us and our four. It's not just about this place, this one church. I want this church to rise up and be exalted like it's supposed to be. I want to see that, but I also understand that it's more than just this. It's more than just this place. It's a movement that God has for the end time. It's a movement where he's going to bring millions and millions of people into the kingdom, and he's going to give everybody the opportunity. Just because somebody has the opportunity doesn't mean that they're going to answer it, but they need to at least have the opportunity to see. Amen. Greatest harvest of souls. I'm going to repeat that just for the mic. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there was a time, one of the things that Justin brought out in Friday night was basically when you're born again, you become a new creature and all things become new and the old things pass away. That means I'm not holding on to the old anymore. I have the opportunity to not hold on to it. Doesn't mean I won't, but I have the opportunity not to. I don't have to hold on to the old things anymore. I don't have to do things just because it was always done this way in my family. I don't have to do things just because someone else does it. I can do what God has called me to do. I can stand for who God has called me to stand, and I can be where he called me to be because why he's given me the opportunity, because I have a new nature within me. And just because I have a new nature within me does not mean that I cannot sin. I am, for one, in proof of that. I just gave you evidence of that because I was holding something in my heart that didn't exist and didn't belong there. But I have a new nature. In order for me to do that, I'm actually rebelling against the nature God put in me. I choose not to do that anymore. I choose not to rebel against what God put in me. I really did a lot of rebelling when I was younger. Be quiet, Mom. I did a lot of rebelling when I was younger, and I was rebelling against anything and everything. But Mom is not going to get this mic, and you're not going to hear about that. But I choose not to. Yes, I am. I'm standing on the freedom. I'm limiting that freedom of speech right now. Hallelujah. But I can tell you that the new nature within me has changed who I am. It's changed what I do. It's changed what I see. It's changed what I hear. And it's changed what I believe. And it doesn't matter how strongly somebody holds on to an opinion. If they're holding on to opinion that's not based in God, then they're not holding on to truth. You can have an opinion that's very strong and very authentic, but it can still be totally garbage. See, because your opinion, your conviction comes from the belief, the core that you hold in the core. That got really quiet on that one. Let me say it this way, because this is how I heard Stephen Furtick say it. Conclusions that you come to are based in the beliefs you start from. I heard that and I was like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to say. It's based in the place that you start from. So people who hold these opinions and conclusions, their conclusions are because why they held something, a base of a lie, and that lie now grew out and morphed into some else, other conclusion. Yes. Who told you that? That's basically when the enemy's speaking, we need to begin to ask ourselves when we're hearing something and we recognize that it does not line up with God, we need to be asking ourselves, who told me that? Whether that was an internal voice or an external voice, I'm being told something that didn't come from God, and so therefore I need to identify the source, and if it's not God, I need to let loose of it. I recognize that there are pastors that I know. There are pastors that I know who are totally okay with abortion. And I don't understand how they can get to that position, but I can tell you that there, no matter how they hold on to that, it's not truth and it's not healthy for them to hold on to that. Hallelujah. Okay. Go with me to Colossians 3. Verse 12 says this, and those who have been chosen of God. Father's House Church, is that you? Yes? Identify yourself. That's me. That's me. That's me. I've been chosen of God. Each and every one of you has been chosen by God. There are millions and millions of people. Everybody on this planet was ultimately chosen by God. Now, whether or not they choose him back is up to them, but they are chosen by God. Every one of us has a place with God. We just have to recognize it and step into it. So this applies to you. So those who are chosen by God, holy and beloved, that's you. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Knowing that is why as soon as he spoke those things to me, that I want these people to be just as much a part of my kingdom as you are, I had to shift my thinking, because now I have to begin the process of letting go of every hurt, every offense that I had imagined from a group of people who didn't even know me, which is kind of silly. But every hurt that I imagined from that situation, I had to begin and recognize I need to let go of it and put on a heart of compassion for these people and their destiny, for all peoples and their destiny, so that we can step into a wholeness and a unity that is defined by who we are in God and nothing else. It's not defined by a Republican or a Democrat, an American or a Canadian. It's defined by who we are in God. A unity that comes only because, not because of where we stand politically, but because where we stand with our God. Hallelujah. The place of compassion. Micah 6:8 says this, what do I require of you but to do justice and love kindness? To do justice and love kindness. When we make that our goal, it shifts everything that we're going to be praying for. Let's have a prayer. As we pray, let's hold up not only the nation, the United States, but each and every individual in this nation, so that we hold them up in loving kindness so they can hear and receive the voice of God and hear and receive the truth of God and allow the truth of God to impact their life and change who and what they are doing. It's up to us. Because those who don't know God aren't going to do it. They don't know to do it. I didn't know to do it when I was lost. I didn't know to intercede for somebody else. But God has put that in within us. And he's given us an authority Because he's a God of justice, he also is a God who answers for the cry for justice. So let's cry out for justice. Let's cry out for justice everywhere that it exists. Everywhere that injustice exists, let's cry out for true justice to be delivered. Not some justice that man gives, but the justice that God gives. Because the justice of God gives will truly satisfy the hearts of every person that it encounters. The justice that God gives is greater than the any justice that man... All man can do is set up a framework that looks kind of like justice, but it'll never deliver justice. Let me give you a case in point. People blew up on 9/11. People blew up things that they shouldn't have blown up. Horrible. But now, ever since, for all these years, we've been enacting a sham because we're going through all these security searches and everything else to do something that would never have stopped what happened that day. It's a joke. It is an overreach. We spend billions of dollars every year doing something to make it look like we have fixed the problem. But it's not there. It's not, the problem didn't change, and the problem wasn't addressed in these actions. All it does is inconvenience everybody else and cause you to have to provide a lot more information to the federal government in the process. So we need to wise up and recognize what's actually going on. That's the way the justice of man works. That's not the way the justice of God works. The justice of God sets you free. The justice of God won't leave you in the mess. It takes you out of the mess. The justice of God will cause you to rise up above the mess and be able to testify about it to others. And the justice of God will cause you to be able to stand there and go, hey, once I was lost, but now I am free. Once I was blind, but now I see. The justice of God looks different. But let's look for the justice of God. Let's cry out for the justice of God. Let's intercede for all the things that need to be interceded for in every situation. But we're looking at it not just from our own selfishness, but for everyone. Amen? Adam was crowned with glory and honor. And we see in Revelation 5 that Jesus gets crowned with glory and honor, riches, dominion. He didn't need to receive that. He already had it. He's receiving that for you. He's receiving that for a moment. He's receiving that for a moment to be released, where he's released in you and for you. When this crown is released, all of a sudden everything that he received on our behalf now is made available to us in a brand new way. So as we're interceding for this justice. This justice is going to look different. Because why? Because it comes out of the heart of a God who's creative. And his creativity was greater than our ability to even understand. But his creativity is going to cause it to look in a way that we didn't expect yet. But it's going to be in a way that we know that it is him. It's going to have his stamp of life on it. It's going to have his stamp of victory on it. It's going to have the stamp of glory on it. It's going to have the stamp of honor on it. And when it has that stamp on it, and the crown shows up in your life, you're going to know it, and you're going to be able to then replicate it to someone else. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're interceding for. Let's pray for those who need our prayer. Let's pray for those who don't see yet. Let's intercede and have an expectation. And know that the king's table is showing up. The crown shows up to provoke everyone else to jealousy. Because it's the provoking of jealousy that causes them to turn their heart. Romans 9, Paul speaks about the Gentiles, that they were given this great gift to provoke the Jews to jealousy, to recognize what they had missed out on. Let's provoke them to jealousy. Because why? Because we're walking in the blessing of God. Because we're walking in the heart of God. Because we're walking in the love of God. No matter what they throw at us, we still walk in the love of God. No matter what they do or say, we still walk in the love of God. And then, there's a provoking. Why? Because he's given us the power. When these things show up, he's giving you not only the opportunity, but he gives you the authority to release it. We're going to provoke. Let's provoke. I used to do a lot of I still do provoking, don't I? Tim can identify with that. It's a different level of provoking, though. Let's provoke people to goodness. Let's provoke them to grace. Let's provoke them. Because why? Because God's placed the burden in your heart for each and every person, no matter where they stand. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I think that's it. Hallelujah. Know that Romans 1:20, God doesn't change.